You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 10. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. And John, we're very happy men today.
Very happy indeed. Rovers 0, Longford Town 1. What a result.
Well, I'm happy because actually I remember you saying a couple of weeks ago that the League Cup means nothing and it should be scrapped. So
yeah, it does. It means very little to me, I have to say. I know you were getting all excited and what have you. But to me, I'd rather have 3 points in the league.
But you see, you weren't at the game. You know, you're a Sunshine supporter. I was there, had the emotion, late 88 minute goal from good friend of the show Daniel O'Reilly, and I think that's Longford Town's first ever win over Shamrock Rovers senior side in the Tallaght Stadium, so a nice little bit of history there for Neil Fenn and the lads.
Yeah, fantastic. And just what was, to be honest, it was just what was needed after that dour display at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually during the week I was thinking what I was going to say about the Town performance, and to be honest I was probably going to tear shreds off them. It was an absolutely woeful performance against UCD. As you know, we're huge Neil Fenn fans here on the show, but have to say he got the tactics wrong, in my opinion, on Saturday night, John.
Kieran, I could have summed it up in four letters and it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah, totally outplayed. Now, in all credit to UCD, you have to give them props, John. They were by far the best team I've seen so far in the First Division. Really, really good on the ball. Big physical lads as well. I think that has a lot to do with the gym facilities they have in UCD. I know from speaking to a couple of the players there, they really speak highly of the facilities they have during the week there. Longford, a lot of their players out muscled on the night time after time. But look, we'll speak about that later, John. We're going off track now. We're gloating a bit about Longford's win in Tallaght.
And we've brought the tone right down by talking about that UCD match.
So we're going to crack straight. We better mention, I suppose, John, first, before we go on any further, the other EA Sports Cup results. There was other teams playing in this competition, you know. So Waterford and Cork City was 0-0 after normal time, 1-1 after extra time, and Waterford coming out on top there on penalties. So another win for Waterford over Cork at the RSC, and Bastian Heary returned from a suspension, which was the big news there.
They'll be delighted to get him back, Kieran.
Yeah, and things looking up there all of a sudden for Waterford.
Well, this lad Casby's done quite well, hasn't he, in his absence? Yeah.
Well, Abora won't be back for a while, John. Maybe there's a role for Heary and Casby in this side.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, the other results as well, quite a surprising one. Shelburne beating Drogheda 7-2 last night. So, look, some interesting quarter-final ties. We'll discuss that when the time comes round, not till middle of May for those ones. So we're going to crack straight into it now, folks, and speak about the Premier Division results from the weekend. I was at the game in Oriel Park, 2-2 between Dundalk and Derry City.
Yeah, good game this one, Kieran. Dundalk started off the better from what I saw. So Dane Massey cross evaded John Mountney early on. But it was his cross that, it was a super cross, right on a sixpence for Robbie Benson.
Mountney was superb on the night, John, especially in the first half. And I was surprised to see him replaced in the second half by Stephen Kenny. But Mountney is a player that's coming into form now after struggling to get into the side in the opening weeks of the season.
Yeah, well, he had a good game here. And like I say, his cross was perfect for Robbie Benson to open the scoring. Could have been 2-0. Jared Doherty, brilliant save from Pat Hooban.
Yeah, I thought Hooban hit it straight at him, in all honesty, but it was a good breakaway, a good counter-attacking move from Dundalk. Dundalk could have been 3 or 4-0 up at half-time. They played absolutely scintillating football in the first half. It was the best performance I've seen from Dundalk. John's going to tell us a little bit more about the game now, but second half certainly wasn't the same from Dundalk.
No, well, Jared Doherty certainly earned his money, because he after that save from Hooban, he made a super point-blank save from Mountney header.
Yeah, probably should have scored, but again, Dundalk getting plenty of crosses into the box, not something you always see from the Lily Eyes, but with tall players like Mountney, like Hooban in there, it's a good tactic, and it almost paid dividends on the night for Dundalk.
Yeah, Derry equalised in the first half. McAniff was bundled over. I think that's the best description I can give by Dan Cleary. He scored the penalty himself to equalise it at 1-1.
Yeah, I know that it was pointed out maybe on the analysis on Soccer Republic that Cleary probably could have just played the ball away instead of trying to muscle his Derry opponent out of the way and play the ball. But the fault definitely lies with Stephen O'Donnell for the goal. Poor touch on the edge of the box. It runs back into his box. Cleary reacts to that. Probably not the best decision, in all fairness, but O'Donnell at fault definitely. And He also made a foul in the lead up to the second goal. A lot of stray passes as well. Really off his game was the Dundalk skipper.
Yeah, not a good match for him. Derry had liked to go in at half-time 1-1, but it wasn't to be. A great run from Gannon. Cross and Duffy, nice finish just on half time to make it 2-1.
Super run from Sean Gannon, something you'd like to see a lot more from him. I know he's one of the highest rated fullbacks in the league, but sometimes I just feel he can give a little bit more to that Dundalk side going forward. A lot of sideways passing sometimes, but I suppose when Dundalk are looking to retain possession, maybe that's the way he's been asked to play. But super driving run, real physical run, broke through three Derry tackles. And then, as you mentioned, the cross goes right across the 6-yard box. And Duffy's come in behind his man unawares and a tap in to give the Dundalk lead at half time.
Yeah, Derry equalised in the second half from a free kick. It was a follow up from a header. Toll followed it up to make it 2-2. Thought that might be how it finished, but there was plenty of action after that. There was a good penalty shout, I thought. Darren Cole bringing down Duffy.
No.
Looked like a penalty.
Fantastic tackle. Mountley should have scored the rebound, John. I think from looking at the highlights, it wasn't obvious to me at the time of the game, but there might have actually been a slight block on Mountley's shot, but even at that, he should be picking out the top corner there. An open goal would have added to his fine display. Just on the Derry equaliser, John, as I said, O'Donnell with a foul in the build-up there, and very poor mark, and very unlike Dundalk this season. Rogers, when I was watching the game live, I thought that was a good save. Looking back at the highlights, could he have pushed it around the post?
Possibly, but look, you know, that's the problem sometimes with goalkeepers. You know, it's very easy just to
make 10
saves, parry a shot. Oh, yeah, look, it's just dropped, unfortunately, to the wrong man who scored. Jed Doherty had time to make another save from Pat Hooman, and Gavin Pearce found himself off for an early bath with a second yellow late on for Derry.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this game, as I said, the first half Dundalk absolutely scintillated and looked like they were going to blow Derry away. Second half, Derry came out with a different tempo, really got in the face of the Dundalk players, and there was some real physical challenges from both sides. Pearce deserved to go for his two yellows, but
he did.
One that wasn't shown on Soccer Republic, Stephen O'Donnell put in an absolutely horrendous tackle, I have to say. I'm not sure what Derry player it was, but he was lucky not to see red, only got a yellow. I think the fact he didn't leave the ground probably saved him. But there was a lot of fair, hard tackles as well that went in from both sides. It was a real physical game and an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, I think Derry would be pleased with the point there anyway.
Oh, 100%. And they deserved it. Also, another one that the highlights didn't show, a free kick from Derry, similar to the equaliser. Ball went in. There was a scramble. Gary Rogers, he dropped the shot. And from that, a Derry player got their toe on it and actually hit the crossbar. So Derry could have won this one 3-2 in the end. Dundalk didn't seem, when it went 2-2, to have the creativity to break down Derry. I know we spoke about on the show last week, they're lacking a playmaker.
Yeah.
That was really, really evident once Derry equalised and got everyone in behind the ball. But as you said, a well-deserved point for the Candy Stripes.
We'll move on to Bowes against Cork, and a real soft goal to open this one where there was a ball went in and it evaded Cummins. I think Supple expected a touch from it and it went straight in from a ball from Hogan. It didn't look great, did it?
It's one of those goals you see every now and again, John. Yeah. It's just really unfortunate. As you said, the goalkeeper's probably anticipating a touch from somebody. It doesn't come and it's gone straight in. I don't think there's a lot you can do about that.
No, just one of those things. Mm. Dylan Watts shot wide, a fellow we've talked about recently.
Another
is looking really promising. Yeah, he played really well. Stokes, good work setting him up in that. And McNulty saved Cork's blushes when he saved from Ward. And Bowes were on top at this stage. A Buckley cross to Stokes and McNulty made a good save from it. And Stokes had another chance, but he fired wide. But the second half, you know, Cork had been... They haven't been on top that much, but they got much more into the game with... they hit back well in the second half. McNamee shot wide. And then the second goal came from Cummins after a quick thinking throw from Sadlier.
I actually just want I'd love to discuss with you, John. Did you think that was a Cork throw to start with? It was a very tight decision.
Well, it was a tight decision, but probably a Cork throw. He did take it very quickly, though. So.
Yeah, it was very good quick thinking. As you mentioned, Cummins got in, showed great pace and power to get into the box and curls it in past Supple. A fantastic finish.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. A Ward lob went wide after that, but to me, usual problem with Bowes, they just didn't have enough up front. They're lacking a goal scorer, you know, and until they can start scoring, getting somebody who can put the ball in the net, they're going to struggle.
Watts was brilliant. Ward had his moments, and Stokes I thought was brilliant as well. But what Bowes are missing is the form of Dinny Corcoran from last season.
Yeah.
Didn't start, went with Stokes instead. As we said, I thought Stokes played really well, had a couple of shots that just whistle past the post, but they're missing that number nine that was able to turn goals in, week out, like Corcoran did last season.
Yeah, they certainly are. So they need a goal scorer, and a goal scorer quick, because they're starting to get to... It's looking a bit grim down there at the bottom, isn't it? And Bowes are certainly in that fight near the bottom.
On Cork, John, a lot of reports in the second half, they seem to go with a lot more direct style of play. It's a criticism that I've heard from a lot of media outlets. Cork fans maybe disagree with it, but I think most pundits seem to feel this is a very direct Cork City side. What's your feelings on that?
I don't think there's anything really to complain about. You play to the team you have, and the match that you're at.
But players they have, are they not better than that? I'm looking at the likes of McNamee there, Kieran Sadlier. Cummins is a good hold-up man, so I can see why you might want to go long to him, but the ball can go to feet and get those players running off him. So is it a disappointing style to see from the champions?
Look, it wasn't working first half. Bows were on top, Kieran, and you know, they needed to change something to shake it up to get further on in the game. So I don't know, I can't be too critical about it.
I seem to remember you saying last year, John, even when Cork, before they'd wrapped up the title and when it was clear that they were going to do so, that as good as Cork had been that season, that this style of play wouldn't work in Europe. So surely, from that aspect, this isn't a great style for Cork City to be taken this season.
Well, look, they've obviously got more work to put in to try and get something, a formation and that suits them. You know, they've got the great front three, so... They need to, you know, find a way of working it a bit better. So.
Look, I'm sure if they get the win over Dundalk on Friday, no one will give a hoot what way they play, and it'll be a huge blow to Dundalk's title, hopes of regaining that title from Cork. And look, we'll discuss that game later, folks. And we went on such a ramble at the start about Longford Town's big win up in Tala that we never even mentioned our guest this week. You'll be hearing from Gary Rogers later on in the show, the Dundalk goalkeeper, ahead of that huge clash at Turner's Cross. And we have the St. Pat's fullback and serial trophy winner, Ian Birmingham. So do stick around for those interviews.
We'll move on down to the RSC and Waterford, 3-0 against Bray. Bray continue to struggle. I feared the worst when I saw the team lineups. This sounds really harsh, but you know, Jake Kelly and Rhys Gorman both starting for Bray. Neither could really get a game for Longford previous season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in reality, you know, I feared the worst once I saw that. But, you know, they had a good chance early on. Ronan Coughlin, he missed a great chance after good work from Gary McCabe. Jake Kelly shot wide. You know, they certainly had a couple of chances early on, but Kazmi went close and Dylan scored a deflected effort. Akinadi was, you know, he hit the woodwork a couple of times when sometimes it was easier to score, but it was really all Waterford. Kazmi hit the opener after Bray didn't clear. That was 1-0. Derek Daly at the second. Again, poor defending from Bray, and Kazmi wrapped it up with 3-0. Tell me about Kazmi, Kieran.
Yeah, so he broke into the Belgian league at quite a young age, Premier Division, John, and then he got a surprise loan move to Standard Liège, a club, of course, everyone knows. Only made 4 league appearances there before moving on to the Cypriot League, and from there he's come to Waterford. Didn't feature a lot early on in the season. I know he played in pre-season and he caught the eye. I heard a lot of good reports about this tricky player down in Waterford, and he certainly showed it against Bray, John. 2 absolutely well-taken goals, great technique for the finishes.
Yeah, and to be fair, Waterford did need that. They needed that result, Kieran.
Yeah, I certainly called this one wrong anyway. Last week I called this a draw, but I do think this was actually a decent display from Bray. They did have their chances, as you mentioned, and it was only after the first and the second went in that they did seem to lose their shape a little bit at the back, but it certainly wasn't the capitulation that we've seen in the previous weeks.
No, it wasn't. But anyway, we'll move on now. Another surprise result here. Shamrock Rovers 1, Limerick 1.
Unforgivable result from Shamrock Rovers, really, to be 1-0 up against a Limerick side that are just struggling majorly in the Premier Division this season. And I'm sure everyone's seen the analysis on Soccer Republic of this, how far, how deep Shamrock Rovers dropped off without putting any pressure on the ball. It was bound to happen, and Danny Marcy, fair play to him, what a fantastic goal he scored.
Yeah, it's the old adage of if you don't take your chances, because Rovers were well on top first half. Graham Burke's strike was a beauty that beat Brendan Clark, but that was after sustained pressure. Sean Kavanagh hit straight at Clark. Lee Grace had a header saved. It really was all Rovers' first half. But Shaw missed a good chance as well after a poor clearance from Clark. He should have scored. And he missed a cross, which would have been a goal as well.
Missed the exact same chance last night in the game in Tala. Ball straight across the 6-yard box. He goes sliding in, and he misses. It seems to happen quite a lot for a tall man. You'd be expecting him to get on more in the end of it.
He's obviously struggling for confidence.
I think Shaw's form is a major worry, John. I'm sure Shamrock Rovers fans are saying the same. Carr is back from suspension now, so I'm sure he's going to come back into the side. But Shaw has had a lot of really good chances. I'm even going back as far as the game in Oriel Park recently, where he was one-on-one and he couldn't beat Sava. He had chances in this game. He had chances last night, couldn't take them. But overall, he was actually marked out of the game last night, I have to say, by Daniel O'Reilly and Mick McDonald, which is quite worrying for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I remember Alan Cawley who said that he wasn't good enough.
Fabio,
he wasn't good enough to be.
I think Fabio has enough Rovers on his plate with Rovers players without bringing up any of his comments on this show.
But I think he's struggling a bit, isn't he, Shaw? Yeah. So,
I think, John, we said it here before, I think he's much better with someone up there, and I can't see a reason why himself and Carr can't play together at Rovers. Shaw is a real hard worker. He wins a lot of first balls up and opens up space for a pacey striker, which Carr is, to get in behind and open up spaces for midfield players around him. So I think that's something Bradley might have to examine.
Something needs to change there for a start. You know, held at home to Limerick and then losing against Longford, it's not great at the moment. Like I say, for all Rovers' dominance, they were made to pay when Morrissey, it was a great turn to beat Lopez, and then he beat Hogan with a great shot. So it was an excellent goal, wasn't it?
Sent Lopez down the chipper with that turn.
Oh, didn't he? Just, yeah, absolutely. Extra salt and vinegar with that one. He was well beaten. King Coleman was sent off late for a lunge on Greg Bulger there, but you know, it was too late for Rovers to make anything more count. It finished 1-1.
Did you watch the post-match interviews from that one, John?
No, I didn't see them, Kieran.
Bradley, he just looked lost, I have to say. You could see it in his eyes. I'm sure it was just disappointment to throw it away. But I think he knows himself the pressure is unrelenting at this moment for him.
Yeah, it is. How long has he got, Kieran? I mean, it's a subject we keep coming back to time and time again, Bradley.
This weekend, if they lose to Derry, he has to be gone.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. That's going to be really tough for them against Derry.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But if Derry win that, they're 8 points clearer Rovers. You know,
I said it on last week's show, John. You can totally forget about Shamrock Rovers being in any sort of title race. They are struggling to make Europe at this moment in time.
Yeah,
well, and if they lose to Derry, as you said, 8 points behind them, curtains.
Well, they've lost six times already this season. Title's gone, Kieran. It's just whether or not they can qualify for Europe, and it's already looking like it's going to have to be a cup job. And it won't be the EA Cup because Goss has no European place.
Go on to town.
Anyway, one more match to go, Kieran. It wasn't the most exciting match. Sligo 0, St. Pat's 0. Sligo had the better of it. Adam Morgan had a few chances. Great long range effort, which was turned wide. McLean headed at the keeper. And Adam Morgan, there was a pinpoint cross. He just had to get anything on it.
I don't know how he hasn't scored that one. He missed a couple of real good chances. I know you mentioned there the long range effort, and it was a superb strike.
Yeah, it was a great effort,
but
wasn't it?
Come on, he scored all his goals inside the box for Sligo. You would have expected him to take at least one of those chances that came his way. I know, John, we've accused Sligo in recent weeks of toothless attacking displays, but I thought this was much, much better from Sligo. They had a lot of the football. And Pats, we're starting to see this defensive side of their game a lot more.
We are seeing a lot, so it's something we'll be asking Ian about, Ian Birmingham, our guest, in a minute.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's not the first time St. Pat's have set up like this. Ultra defensive, came looking for a point, and that's all they got.
Yeah, Liam Buckley said at post-match that he felt it was a fair result. I didn't think so. I thought Sligo had a lot more of the chances, a lot more of the ball. Cawley was sent off late on there for Pats. What did you make of that one?
It was rash, wasn't it? Rash challenge. Yeah, we've seen quite a few of these recently, but it was a deserved card. Yeah,
Gerard Little didn't look happy about it though. But
no, he didn't. He had a real rant down the touchline, didn't he?
Yeah, but he can certainly be a lot happier with his team's performance. That moves them up to 11 points now, only 1 point behind Bohemians with a game in hand. But look, folks, we're going to speak to the St. Pat's fullback now, Ian Birmingham, who played in that game. We're going to discuss his career in the League of Ireland so far and Pat's huge upcoming games, of course, a Dublin derby against Bowes this weekend. So folks, as John said in our Facebook Live, we always get the big hitters here on Between the Stripes, LOI podcast, and a serial trophy winner now in St. Pat's fullback, Ian Birmingham. Ian, you're very welcome to the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, lads.
So Ian, huge games coming up for St. Pat's in the next couple of weeks. But if you don't mind, we're actually just going to take a little trip down memory lane to start off our interview here. We'd love to talk about your start in the League of Ireland. And like so many of our guests we've had on recently, you started out at the, I suppose, the production line it is these days of UCD. You kicked into action there in 2007-2008. What was it like to start out at UCD? I'd imagine a great place to start out in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, definitely. I was with Lord Celtic at the time. And halfway through the season, Pete Mann had had approached me to go out to UCD. Told me that he put me straight into the team, and it was an offer that I couldn't really turn down. And Pete, I still talk to Pete now. He gave me my chance. He's honest as the day is long, and he put me straight in really. And I started off there and had a great couple of years there, and then obviously moved on. But now it's a great place to start. As I said, a lot of young players, you get the freedom just to go and play. There's no pressure really on you out there either. So, and at the time we had a lot of top players. Like you look at the players they've produced, the likes of Greg Bulger, Ronan Finn, just a couple there. You know, top players around the league. And it was great to start off my career there.
And there was an early link with a move to British football. Stockport and Gretna were two of the clubs linked. Was there any real concrete truth in that?
The Stockport one, yeah. I didn't really want to go away at the time. I just wanted to stay. I was a bit of a homeboy back then, and I just really wanted to stay over in Ireland, and I just kind of refused. But the Stockport one, yeah, there's a bit of truth in that. But the Gretna one, no, I don't know where that came from.
And certainly your decision to stay in Ireland, it's paid dividends in the amount of major honours you've won. But it's a debate we always hear, I suppose, in Irish football regarding whether young players should go over at a young age to English football, or whether they should stay and develop here. When you look back at your decision, you must be happy with the decision you made, as I said, considering the amount of trophies you've won.
As I said, I've had a half-decent career in the League of Ireland. I'm delighted that I didn't go over then. I obviously would have liked him probably to go over a little bit later if the opportunity popped up, but it didn't. But now, I think the way the league has gone with the 15s and the 17s and 19s, you can see a lot of the young players even coming into their team now. You look at Jamie Lennon, Darren Markey, James Dione. All them players have come through that system, and they're just creating their team kind of. So now I think it's vital for them to... I think it's... there's a good pathway now to stay over in Ireland, and as I said, go away that little bit later. Like you look at all the League of Ireland exports now, they're all doing pretty well, and like you look at the players that go over maybe under 15, 16, they're kind of tending to come back an awful lot, you know. So I think when you're that little bit older, you're more mature, you're more experienced, a lot of them will have education behind them, which is a big thing now. And I think the way the 15s, 17s and 19s league, and even doing them on the tour days now, I think it's being run well, and hopefully we can see more products going across the water.
Yeah, I think it's definitely noticeable. It's just the amount of young talent that is coming through in League of Ireland clubs, and you know, it's certainly for the better, you know, for the future of the league and for Ireland themselves. But you know, you didn't stay at UCD. You moved on to Shamrock Rovers debut. Quite a little debut against Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, that was half through the season there. That was a good experience to play against that caliber player, and it was a great night for us all. Obviously, we'll always look back on that as a highlight. But as I said, it was a brilliant night for us all. As I said, playing against that caliber, we done well. In fairness, we got beaten 1-0. I think Benzema scored in the second half, so. I only played the first half, so we kept a clean sheet.
Desi Baker certainly missed a sitter, didn't he, and to level things up.
Who?
Desi Baker was in 1-on-1, I remember correctly, and he just seemed to stumble at the time.
It's different colour boots on him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
it was a great night for us all. Obviously, it was Ronaldo's day as well. I got the imagination of everybody worldwide. So, a great night for us all, and obviously one that we can all go back on.
Yeah, brilliant. You didn't stay too long at Rovers. You only made 16 appearances there. Did it just not work out, Ian?
I got a ruptured ligament in my ankle during that season, and I missed an awful lot of time. So so I didn't really play that many games. As I said, I only played 16 games, and Pete Mann, who took over St. Pat's at the time, he contacted me to sign up a part-time MEP, and I was delighted to play with him, or to play for him again. As I said, he brought me into the league with UCD, and he's a man I have a lot of respect for, so I was delighted to link up with him again. And as I said, he brought me to Pats as well, and it was 9 seasons later, I'm still there, so
yeah, you must be approaching the testimonial stage now, Ian. But it's just incredible looking at the stats here. One Premier Division title, one FAI Cup, two League Cups, President's Cup, and two Leinster Senior Cups. 3 years in a row, you're in the PFAI Team of the Year. Twice voted Pat's Player of the Year. You're still only 28. Is there more to come from Ian Birmingham?
Yeah, definitely. I feel good. I feel fit. As I said, I want to win more trophies at St. Pat's. That's the aim. We've got a favour over the last couple of years. Obviously, last year was disappointing for us. It was one I never want to go back to again. But definitely I want to win more trophies. I feel the lads now that we have in the group are hungry for success, and we're just kind of starting to build up again now. As I said, last year was a bit disappointing, but we're looking to build now for success in the future. And I believe with the group that we have now, I think that we can keep a lot of the players that we have. Obviously, every couple of seasons, you add a couple of new players or whatever like that to strengthen the squad. I think we'll be back up challenging in the next couple of years. That's the aim, anyhow.
You're still young enough, Ian, to play your football on top of a shopping centre. Yeah, has there been much chatter in the dressing room regarding those plans? Incredible stuff, really.
Just obviously when the news broke, we kind of had a little chat, but not really. Like it hasn't got the go ahead yet. There's a process involved there with the Dublin City Council and stuff like that. So look, it's a long way away from happening, I think. As I said, they're great intentions by St. Pat's, and I hope that it does get the go ahead, and I hope that I'm there when it does open. But it's good ambition from the club. The club are this year, they're doing some good things off the pitch. You look at the social media side of things, the sponsors coming in and stuff like that. So it's all looking good. As I said, we're doing okay on the pitch at the minute. We'd like to be doing a little bit better, but now look, I think we're doing well at the minute, and we just hope to push on now.
Yeah, a decent little run. 17 points now, and one thing that struggled a little bit is goals, and that's surprising because you've got obviously your two great attacking fullbacks for a start.
Yeah, look, in pre-season we've done a lot of work, Jared and Martin, we've done a lot of work with us in kind of to shut up shop a little bit. We conceded too many goals last year, and I think we've done that this year. We've shut up shop. I think we've kept 6 or 7 clean sheets. I don't think we kept that in the whole of last season. So it's obviously working, but we've got, as you said, we've got to start creating more chances for the lads up front and scoring more goals. We're doing okay at the minute. We'd like to have a few more points on the board, but I think we're playing well. I think there's more to come from the group. We've been working on the attacking side of things the last while, and hopefully that'll bear fruit now coming over the next few weeks, and we can start scoring a couple of goals and creating more chances for the lads up top.
So 5 points off Derry City in fourth at the moment, Ian. A huge derby game against Bohemians this weekend. Is this a real key point now in St. Pat's season?
Yeah, definitely. I think the next week is big for us. We've got Bowers Friday, Dundalk Monday, and Rovers the following Friday. So it's a big week for us. Obviously, we've just got to concentrate on Bowers first. And I think a win there, we'll Derry are playing Rovers, so we'll crawl back a couple of points on one of them, or probably both of them if they draw. But no, we've got to go and beat Bowers now Friday. They're a good team. We've seen over the last couple of weeks they've been playing well. They probably haven't got the rub of the green, but no, we'll prepare right for them. And as I said, if we can beat Bowers Friday, that'd be 3 undefeated, and we've got to go on a little run. I think what's killing us a little bit this season is probably our inconsistency. We probably win one game, lose one, win one, draw one, lose one. It's we haven't got into a bit of a rhythm yet, so that's our aim now. We've got to try and pick up the wins now and push on and go on a little run.
And just in terms of managers within the league, Ian, obviously there's a lot of spotlight on certain managers, but Liam Buckley's a man you've worked with now for a long time, a man highly respected in the league. Everyone knows the style of football Liam likes to implement with his teams. What's he like to work with?
Yeah, look, he just gives you the freedom to go and play, and it's great. As you said, the style of football is excellent. It's just as like an attacking fullback, so he just kind of gives you a bit of a license to get forward, get up and down. And as I said, he just lets you know, play. I think that's the one thing about him. He just gives you the freedom to go and play. There's no shackles on you or anything. You just get to go out and play. He won't be shouting at you or giving you, if he needs it, he'll give you a rollicking, but there's no kind of that. He just gives you the freedom to play. If you make a mistake, look, you didn't mean it, whatever, you go again. But no, I think just that he just gives you that freedom to go and play. I think that's the main thing that I've found with him, and I'm probably the young players would like that as well, just to go out and play. And there's no pressure on you, there's pressure when you play for Pats, but just that you can just go out and let the shackles off and just go and play again.
Final question, Ian. We've spoken about young players a lot there during that interview, and one player that's really, really catching the eye is Jamie Lennon. Just how good is this kid?
I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but no, he's excellent. His range of passing is excellent. He reads the game so well for a kid so young. I think he's only 19, and it's like he's played the league the last 10 years. He's dictating games when we're playing, and for a kid that young, it's phenomenal stuff. And as I said, he's only going to get better. He's only played, I think, probably 4 or 6 games, and he's running games. So listen, I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. He's been brilliant for us so far. Long may that continue for him, but now he's got real ability, and I can see him having a wonderful career.
Ian, that's been superb. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
No problem a lot, Todd. Thanks a lot, lads.
Cheers, Ian.
Thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Great to hear from Ian Birmingham there, Kieran. And, like you said, they're tight at the back, but they need a few more goals, don't they, Pats? But anyway, look, we'll move on to the first division results. And, we were both at the Sans Flan Zero when Longford went down 2-0 to UCD. I have to say, really impressed with Georgie Kelly.
Very impressed, yeah. Looks like a real proper striker. Took his goals well. In a game that didn't have a lot of chances, despite UCD's total dominance on the night.
Yeah, they were by far the better team. Really, really flat display from Longford.
Do you think the atmosphere contributed to that, John? Because it was a really sunny day, and it was a small crowd because of the FA Cup semi-final on in England. A lot of the pubs were all packed into town, but the ground was empty. There was very, very little atmosphere in the ground. It had the feel of a pre-season friendly to it. UCD were just passing the ball around fun, even from their goalkeeper out, just picking passes. Longford not really putting any pressure on them. Anytime they did, UCD just looked so cool, so composed. And when the chances did come for Georgie Kelly, he took them.
Yeah, he did indeed. I don't know whether you can say, obviously they want to have a decent crowd behind them, a lot of noise, but to be fair, Section O, the ones that were there, did make the noise. But I just thought it was a really, really flat display. I'm going to have to question Neil Fenn because he brought on Verdon, 2-0 down. Verdon's quite capable of playing off the front man, and he played him in an anchor role, which for me was really
totally wrong. Yeah, and I think he knows he got that wrong, because last night when Verdon played, he certainly played a lot higher up the pitch. Yeah. Had a couple of shots from the edge of the box, which is certainly something we associate with Verdon. Since he's come to the club, he's chipped in with plenty of goals. I think he scored in almost every game in pre-season as well, so it was a very strange choice from Neil Fenn.
Sometimes though, you set your team out to do the right things and it just doesn't go to plan. UCD played very well, don't take anything away from them. I think they'll win the league the way they played.
After seeing them at the weekend, I have to agree.
Yeah, and every team needs a striker that's going to score the goals. And in Georgie Kelly, he's going to do that. He had a quiet start to the season, but yeah, he looks the part.
Big Maxi at the back as well was very, very good for UCD.
Yeah, excellent player. Look, it's just highlighted maybe a little bit of lack of depth in squad for Longford for me. But look, I'm sure they'll bounce back as they did against Rovers. But to me, UCD, they were excellent. And like we say, in Georgie Kelly, they've got a man that can change matches. And, You know, whenever you've got somebody like that, you've always got a chance.
I think you've made the correct point there on the depth of the squad at Longford. The bench looked extremely weak at the weekend. Now, I know there's a lot of players out injured at the moment, so that certainly hasn't helped. But there was no real recognised striker to come off that bench. And I thought Chris Mulhall had another very poor, below-par display for Longford. And there was no one there to come on for him. And when you haven't got that competition for places, those sort of performances can creep into your game.
Yeah, maybe play Verdon off Dean Byrne, but look, it's difficult one. Fenn's going to have to sort it out.
Byrne actually played up front, led the line last night, and was absolutely superb, I have to say. Yeah, so maybe it's time that he starts up front for Town instead of in that 10, as good as he is in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on anyway, because we could spend all day on Longford, Kieran. we're going to move to Cove now, who were well beaten at home to Drogheda, 5-1.
Wow, you got this one wrong on last week's prediction game. You called this as a draw.
I still won though, Kieran.
By a goal.
But Drogheda 5-up here and before Kieran Leonard pulled one back. Mark Doyle 2 goals and Richie Purdy amongst the goal scorers for Drogheda. You know, it was one way, total demolition, and they keep track with UCD.
Yeah, Kieran Kelly was the man, of course, that got that late equaliser against Longford, and great to see a fullback chipping in with goals. Chris Lyons, we had Kevin Doherty, the Drogheda assistant on last week. He spoke about Lyons as being one of their best performers so far this season. Mark Doyle looks like he's having a great season, and Paradis starting to pick up his game now, a player that had a lot of promise early in his career but hasn't delivered so far. Cove, it's just not their season. They just can't match their exploits of the last couple of years. And yeah, as you said, Drogheda are banging goals in for fun, John.
Kieran, if you want value for money and goals, it's Drogheda to go. They've scored 28 from 8 matches. Incredible. That's 3.5 per game.
And only conceded 9-8 as well, which is a very, very decent defensive record.
Yeah.
The one subject I suppose we do have to bring up, there's not a lot of information going around at the moment, but I'm sure everyone's seen the situation with a Drogheda supporters bus been turned away from this game, not by Cove Ramblers, it must be said, but there's a lot of questions to be asked. It certainly wasn't a good image for the league, John.
No, it's poor, isn't it? I mean, it's a long enough journey down there.
3.5 hours, yeah.
And then to get turned away is ridiculous.
I've certainly had that experience of going down to Cove and getting there after 4 hours on a bus and the match had been waterlogged about 10 minutes before kickoff. It's not a nice experience, so feel sorry for those Drogheda fans, but I think there's not much information going around on that at the moment, so we can't really say too much on it, but I think there needs to be answers on that, because it really wasn't good enough. And no, I'm sure Cove are disappointed too, because they're a club that don't get big attendances. I'm sure they would have liked the gate money of 32 Drogheda fans
probably going to have a few drinks, something to eat as well. It's a strange one, but look, let's hope them Drogheda fans, they managed to get a few drinks and didn't have a disaster of a day after all. But We'll see. I'm sure there's more to come on that, Kieran.
Yeah.
Moving on, team that continues to impress is Shelburne, and they beat Galway 2-0. That man, Davy O'Sullivan, took his total to 10 for the season.
Yeah, well, we could talk about Davy O'Sullivan scoring goals every week, but the surprise scorer in this one was Alan Byrne. He doesn't chip in with too many down his career. He certainly hasn't anyway, but from speaking to Galway fans, they said this was one of the worst performances they've ever seen from a Galway United team. I think I may have brought it up on last week's show, John. Galway, they've started really slow. When does the pressure start to come on Shane Keegan?
Look, there's three teams there that we said would be up there or thereabouts, and they're not quite there. That's Galway, Harps and Longford.
Maybe slightly disagree on Longford. They've only put in one really below par performance, which was the UCD game. The game against Shells they shouldn't have lost. Overall, they're probably where we'd expect them to be in fourth, but Galway, they've only won 3 of their 7, John. Harps, I think the big thing with Harps is a lot of new faces have come in and it's going to take time to gel. I think with the attacking players they have there, and obviously Paddy McCourt as well, I think it's only a matter of time before Harps click. But Galway, with the resources they have, they're the only full-time team in the First Division. They should be doing a lot more.
They should. You know, what are they now? 5th, 12 points from 7 matches. Yeah, they're going to have to improve, and improve pretty quickly. Harps beat Cabo 1-0. Sam Todd with a goal there. Harps, well, another team that needed 3 points there at the weekend.
Yeah, they're struggling for goals, John, which is very surprising given the powers they have there with the O'Connor brothers, BJ Banda, John O'Flynn, Paddy McCourt, just to name a few. Sam Todd got the goal here, and he's a player on loan from Derry that our guest Nigel Hegarty from Finn Harps spoke very, very highly of a couple of weeks ago. Look, Harps grinding out results, that's a sign of a good team, but they're going to have to up the performance when they travel to Longford on Saturday.
And finally, Wexford against Athlone. Now, Kieran, I'm going to give you a stat here. Wexford in 7 matches had scored 4 goals before this.
Yeah.
They were only 1-0 up at half-time, and it finished 7-0. So they scored 7 in one game, whereas previous to that, they'd scored 4 in 7. Now, just for completion, Shane Barnes, hat-trick, Aaron Dobbs with 2, Dean George with 2. Athlone, I said if it was a dog, it should be put down.
Yeah.
What can we say?
Look, we've left this game to last in our first division review for a reason. We're going to have a discussion now, a serious discussion on Athlone Town. This is an absolute disaster for the League of Ireland, John. It's an absolute humiliation. It's embarrassing. Wexford are a team that won 4 games last season. This was the one fixture for Athlone. People were circling out as, oh, they can pick up a couple of points here. Maybe this might be their first win of the season. They went away to a team that, as you said, it only scored 4 goals all season. They concede 6 in the second half, 7 overall. Apparently, from speaking to a couple of people in the know down at Athlone, the Athlone team rocked up in 4 cars. Like, how unprofessional is this club becoming? It's a disgrace for the League of Ireland. For me, there's no way this can continue. We had online reports during the week, turned out to be false, that Aaron Callaghan left his post. Now, any other club would have released a statement saying, this is not the case, team continues as normal. It only came to light that Callan hadn't left his post when Athlone put up a totally, you know, coincidental post that they were travelling to Cabinteely this weekend, and because the game was on a Saturday, they had Aaron and the team had an extra training session. What's going on at Athlone, John?
It's very difficult to know. It's very difficult to know. I'm not sure what Aaron's doing there, to be honest. At this stage, surely he, most managers would say, look, this is impossible. Yeah. You know, what bit of experience I did have in that team's gone. You would say
he turned it Colo, walked out at half time against Longford, and he hasn't come back. And apparently, that was down to the lack of professionalism at that club. And I looked at it, it is an amateur club this season. We all know they're not paying wages to players, they are totally amateur. But it's the setup off the field, John, that's amateur. These players, look, they've been given the chance to go and play League of Ireland football. It was me or you that was offered that chance, we'd go and take it. But How much longer can this go on? I'm not sure how many 7-0 defeats they've had this season, but they only had one a couple of weeks ago against Shelburne. They've been hammered week after week after week. They managed to get 1 point so far. Are they going to get another point?
Well, they're shipping 4.5 goals per game on average. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's like putting my beloved Yeovil into the Premier League. That's exactly what would happen. It's just a complete mismatch. And I know we talked about it as a bit of a jest pre-season that it was like the X factor, wasn't it, with the trials and, you know, maybe they got to Judges Houses stages when they got to a squad of whatever. But, you know, this really is, it's not good for the league. And look, it'll carry on, but...
Will it though? Are they going to see the season out at this rate?
They will, Kieran, but they'll keep on getting battered the way it's going. I mean, Roddy's gone very early doors, hasn't he?
That wasn't a great sign, I suppose, from the get-go, no.
So, I just don't know.
Is it time now that in the First Division, something drastic has to happen from an FAI level? Something even as simple as bringing re-election back, a team that finishes bottom having to reapply for their licence, because this is not acceptable for any league.
No, it's not. And if certainly not re-election, we talked about, we had a good chat in detail. Oh, I don't know whether it was last season or this season about a proper pyramid scheme for the League of Ireland.
We're decades away from anything like that ever happening. Something needs to happen now because this cannot continue.
I just feel really, really sorry for what fans they have left because, you know, this is a club that have won titles. You know, I've seen they've played in Europe and it's just a shadow of what they are now. I feel really, really sorry for them. It's not the fans' fault.
Look, John, the fans have turned their back. They've walked. The community has turned their and not in a bad way. They're right to walk away from this. I'd wash my hands of this. It's an absolute embarrassment. And I think it's gotten to the stage where a couple of Athlone fans have even said to me that they'd rather see the club fall now at this stage than continue in its current guise because it's not the club that they know or have grown up supporting their whole lives. And that statement probably really sums up. There's not much more we can say on that. I think that statement there in itself sums up Athlone Town.
It's poison, but it was poison last season as well, Kieran, if you think about the goings-on.
They conceded less goals with the goings-on last season than a team that's gone out and been put back together. It's embarrassing.
But this isn't a team, is it? It's just a bunch of lads put together and they're going out. I'm sure they're doing the best, these players, but quite clearly...
I think the last people you can have a go at is the players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally wrong that we should have a go at the players. And we're not doing it.
Even a Wexford fan that I was speaking to from that game, he said the players, honest, honestly worked their socks off, tried their heart out. But he said, these are not League of Ireland players. What do you expect? They're going to get battered no matter who they play against. He said they'd even struggle against a junior side. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope this isn't going to continue. I think, obviously, you want to see the club finish out the season because you don't want to have implications on the rest of the teams in the league. But come end of season, everyone in that loan, everyone in the FAI, they need to sit around the table and need to sort this out because this can't go on for another year or two.
Well, here's the accreditation and the licences, Kieran. So, you know, there must be something in that. You know, they've got to take these results into account.
The results don't come into account during a licence, and it's all about your stadium, your finances, etc. But as I said, I think re-election would be a great idea in the first division. And yeah. I know people are going to be saying then, they're going to be shouting now, listening to this, well, who's going to replace that loan?
There's plenty of teams out there, I'm sure.
I don't know about that. But look, that's the FAI's decision. Are we better off cutting it down to a nine-team league? I know that I mean idle weeks, but we can't have these scorelines every week. People are just going to look at this and say, well, the League of Ireland First Division is a joke.
Yeah, indeed. Look, what can we say?
And we've tried, we have offered the opportunity for anyone, let it be a supporter or anyone from at Lone Town, the club itself, to come on the show and have this debate with us, but we haven't heard back anything there yet. We're putting the offer out there to get there again. Anyone that's involved there, let it be players, management. I know Aaron Callaghan was very gracious, joined us early on in the season, was very pleasant to speak to. And as you said, I'm sure he's trying his best there, but it's a team of misfits and these results are going to continue, I'm afraid.
Indeed. Well, look, we'll move on to the preview the First Division first, Kieran. And we're going to kick off with a match at the top, free scoring Drogheda against Shells. That should be a good one, shouldn't it?
Yeah, only a point separating these two teams in the table, 17 against 16. Loads of goals each way. Shells aren't shy of goals themselves. They're scoring two a game at the moment, 16 in their eight, but Drogheda on a different level altogether, 28 in their eight. But of course they did get eight against Wexford earlier on in the season.
Yeah.
Shells defence slightly better. They've only conceded seven in their eight, whereas Drogheda have conceded nine. Davy O'Sullivan in red hot form for Shelburne, and I was speaking yesterday at the town game up in Tala to Between the Stripes.ie reporter Andrew Dempsey, and he's taken in a lot of Shelburne games this season. He said they're one of the most direct sides he's seen, but it's working for them, and yeah, you can have no criticism of that. And we've seen down the years what Davy O'Sullivan can do chasing the ball down, John. So it's going to be an interesting one. But Drogheda's home form has been good this season. Shell's having a good season themselves. It's an impossible one to call, really. I'm going to go with a draw.
Oh yeah, well, I'm going to go for a home win, Kieran, just to be awkward. I'm not entirely convinced of it, but you know, we have to make it.
Gary seems to have Shells really structured this season,
he
John.
Does,
I like
yeah.
the look of the side. I know people are saying they're a direct side, but a team like that aren't going to give away silly goals, whereas a team like Drogheda and Longford that like to play the ball around the back, there's always that danger of getting caught out
there
with
is,
a short
yeah.
ball. So I think a draw on this one.
Right, well, I'm going for Drogheda just on the basis of scored nearly twice as many goals as Shells. So we'll see anyway. We'll beg to differ on that one. Galway against Cove. That should be a straightforward home win, or
yeah,
should it?
No, it should be, yeah. If Galway lose this, then I think the fans will definitely be getting on Shane Keegan's back. Galway just have way too much firepower for Cove, who've struggled for goals this season.
Have they ever been 100% behind Shane Keegan, the Galway fans?
I think they have. Like, when we've spoken to, I know Julian's only one example that we had on the show,
yeah,
but we did ask for the overall opinion. Now, he did say some were against Keegan because he was probably naive last season. That was such a good Galway squad when you think back to it now,
yeah,
that they should have probably stayed up if they played a little more structured than trying to go out and attack teams every single week. I think people thought that would suit them in the First Division, but they just haven't lived up to the billing. But they've certainly been a lot better than Cove this season, and they should see no issues at home especially.
No, home win for me, Kieran. I presume you're going to agree.
Yeah, home yeah. win, yeah.
Okay, UCD take on Wexford. This should be straightforward. It's top against next to bottom. Anything other than a home win?
Well, Wexford confidence certainly be flowing after scoring seven at the weekend. And as I've been saying for weeks now, they're defensively looking a lot better. I know they lost 4-1 against Galway, but there was questionable decisions from the officials in that game. And Wexford were banging it at one stage. And Aaron Dobbs has certainly got firing at long last. Wexford improving their woeful goal tally, as you said before that at long game, only four goals, but Wexford looking a lot better than early on the season. UCD certainly the best side I've seen so far this season. Georgie Kelly, as you said, he'll score goals every week at this rate. He's just a real finisher, isn't he, John?
Yeah, very good. So, look, home win for me, Kieran.
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works this week, John. I just feel this Wexford team are starting to slowly pick something up. I'm going to go for a draw.
Well, you're wrong there, Kieran. Cabinteely against, I'm going to call them the club formerly known as Athlone Town, because they're not a club anymore. Mm-hmm. And I can't see anything other than a home win.
Amazingly, Cabo struggled to beat Athlone when they didn't have a goalkeeper, if you can go back to that crazy situation.
I remember that one.
Only a 2-1 win, and Athlone actually got an equaliser in that game. But things just seem to be getting more and more and more toxic every single week at Athlone. Cabinteely should be putting 3 or 4 past Athlone. And since that game, Kieran Marty Waters has certainly picked up his form. So he'd be looking to get 3 or 4 himself, John.
Yeah, well, home win for me. Home win. And finally, our beloved Longford Town play Finn Harps. This might be quite a difficult one to call.
It's always been a difficult one down the years. These two sides love a ding-dong between each other. And if Longford are to lose this one, they're certainly in trouble, because they're only on 12 points at the moment. They're 7 behind UCD. I think most Longford fans, the feeling is they'll be happy with a playoff spot. So Galway are on level on 12, and we're talking about Galway not having a great start to the season. So maybe we're overhyping Longford, John, are we?
Possibly. I still think there's a struggle with the squad and, you know, a real out-and-out goal scorer. There's definitely issues there. That's only to be expected with, you know, part-time clubs. You know, they don't have... But I think when Fenn gets a settled starting lineup, I think that will help. I just think he's too many players out at the moment. Mm. He's missing Peter Hopkins desperately, I think. You know, he needs to sort out where he's going to play Sam Verdon. But Harps have underperformed as well so far. I know you were saying about, you were sort of denying that Longford had underperformed, but for me, you know, Harps and Galway, two teams you said had, they have a game in hand with Longford, and they're level and 1 point behind respectively. So, you know,
it's amazing what one defeat can do. It can just really damage a team in this, the first division. That's how tight it is.
Yeah.
And Longford have picked up, obviously, the two defeats now. One was very unlucky, and one was certainly deserved, the one against UCD. But I just feel this Harps side, they've got to click at some stage, John. Is this going to be the weekend? Mick McDonald had his first really poor game, I have to say, since he's come to Longford against UCD, but he looked to steady the ship a little bit last night up in Talla. Daniel Riley again was superb and got the winner in Talla last night. So is that going to bring confidence to the back four, keeping a clean sheet up in Talla? It's going to be a tight one. I'm going to go for a Longford, maybe a 2-1 win here, but it could easily end up as a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Do you go with your heart or your head? That's the question.
And look, John, we're professionals here, go with you.
Yeah, well, look, every time I tip Longford, they don't win. But I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go for a Longford win, and God, I better be right. Look, we'll move on anyway to the Premier Division previews. We've certainly saved the last. We've got a great interview with Gary Rogers coming up. But we'll go to first match at Derry against Shamrock Rovers.
Is this going to be the one for Stephen Bradley? Is it going to be the one where he turns it all around with by being the far side to go up to the Brandywell and get all 3 points? Or is it the end for Stephen Bradley at Shamrock Rovers? As I said, I was in Oriel Park. I was very, very impressed with Derry's second half performance. There's a lot of really good players in that side that stepped up their game. McInniff, Curtis are two that really impressed me on the night. If they turn up, Derry, I think, can win this one quite comfortably. Shamrock Rovers, they're going to be relying again on Graham Burke, who had a good game against Limerick and scored a fine goal. But as we mentioned, there's huge issues in the forward line there. Dan Carr will certainly return to the starting lineup, but Derry have been tight at the back this season. If they can keep him quiet, if they can find a way to keep Graham Burke quiet, I think Derry win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going for a home win in this one. Whether it'll be the end of Bradley, I'm not so sure, because I think that, you know, it'd be harsh after a trip to Derry. Derry on good form. They've got a lot of young talent.
It wouldn't be harsh in the overall picture though, John.
Yeah, well, look, we'll see on that. But Derry win for me. Now, we've got a battle at the bottom of the table. Now, this is an interesting one. Bray against Limerick. Much, Now, Bray can pull within 3 points of Limerick if they win this.
And they'd still have a game in hand as well. Bray have been much improved since their caretaker manager came in. Limerick, things don't look right off the pitch there as well as on it, even though I'm sure they'll be buoyed by that result in Talla at the weekend. There's good players, individual players in both sides, but I think that from speaking to someone that was at the game, Limerick Dundalk recently, they said that the image they got from Limerick was that they were individuals, they weren't playing as a team, whereas Bray looked to be a little bit more structured now. I think Limerick probably have a little bit more firepower than Bray, so they'll probably get a goal. If Bray are going to win it, they're probably going to have to score 2 or 3. I'm not sure if they can do that. I'm going to call a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same, Kieran. I think I just think Limerick, there's too many of their key players that aren't performing so far this season. I know the Dennehy brothers came under a bit of criticism, didn't they?
Mm.
But, you know, they need to pick. This is the kind of match they have to win, you know, but I don't think they're doing enough this season.
If Bray can nick something, though, oh, Limerick are going to be shaking in their boots.
Well, absolutely. That draws it back to three points between them, and that'll make things a bit more interesting. We shall see. Waterford host Sligo.
Yeah, we were discussing Waterford last week, saying the wheels might have come off slightly with these suspensions, but Bastian Heary is back. Kasami had a superb game against Bray, and as I said earlier on the show there, maybe there's the potential to put the two of them in the same starting 11.
Yep.
Courtney Doofus on fire. Akinade actually looked to step up his game of the week, and he's a man we said we wanted to see a little bit more
from. Yeah, he's unlucky not to get a couple of goals.
Hit the crossbar twice, yeah. So I think Waterford, way too much firepower for a Sligo team struggling to score goals this season.
Yeah, home win for me as well, Kieran.
Yeah, following that, John.
We've a cracking Dublin derby. I'm really looking forward to this one because it's Pats against Bows.
Love the derbies.
Yeah, and Bows are desperate for points here. Make no doubt about it. They're starting to really struggle. They've not got the firepower.
The only thing, John, Bows' performances have been good in recent weeks. They played very well against Cork. Dylan Watts has been instrumental in this turnaround in performances.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned, it's going to go back every time they're struggling for that out-and-out goal score. Is one going to pop up in this game?
I'm not so sure. I think Pats seem to be hitting a bit of form. They're improving all the time. And I know Dublin derbies, they can go all sorts of ways. But I think Pats will have too much for Bows here.
I'm going to disagree. I think Bo's good record in the Dublin derbies recently. Three wins in a row against Shamrock Rovers. Performances are picking up. Dylan Watts looks good. Keith Ward is starting to chip in a little bit more into games. Owen Stokes looks lively. If Corcoran can come off the bench, maybe, can he finally get himself going? Do they have enough to win? I don't think so. I'm going to call another draw this weekend, and I'm not usually a man to go for draws, John.
You're sitting on the fence a lot these previews. Finally, we've saved the best to last. It's going to be a cracker. It's the top of the table clash between Cork and Dundalk.
Wow, what a game. Live on RT, folks, 7:15 kickoff, which drives me mad the way they mess around the kickoff times. But anyway, look, we've had enough rants tonight.
Yeah.
Dundalk going to be disappointed to have let that two-goal lead slip, they were in the lead twice against Derry and let it slip. Cork, as we mentioned, a lot of critics on their back about their style of play, but this is the sort of game where you're probably going to be looking to go along and really put pressure on the away side. It's going to be a sold-out Turner's Cross, I'm sure. They're going to be right on the Dundalk players' backs. I can see some big challenges going in this one, John. Wouldn't surprise me if we see a couple of red cards. I'm really excited for it. It's been one of the best League Ireland rivalries in recent times. There's a real bitterness and hate there. It's just great viewing. Again, I think this one might be very tight to call. 0-0 for me.
0-0, okay. Yeah. Well, we predicted Cork to beat Dundalk earlier in the season. Of course, Dundalk went and beat them, didn't they? You know, we were surprised about that at the time.
I think we've seen a real style change from Dundalk in these games. Yeah. I think the mentality has totally changed. They're saying, look, we don't care what way we win these games. We want to beat Cork. They've had the holdovers for too long now. They went out in Oriel and they kicked them off the pitch, Tom. They did. Remember, yeah. Conor McCormack had to be hooked off after a couple of minutes.
That's right, yeah.
There was a couple of players that they looked really rattled on the night. I think we're going to see something similar. And with Hooban now been in the form he is, Dundalk could even nick this one. Cummins is obviously looking to do the same, but his goals have dried up a little bit recently. I think again they're too tight, too close to call. I'm going to go for a draw.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ here, because I think Dundalk are just coming into a lot of good form, and they've some players that are really impressing me at the moment. Duffy's really starting to show
he was super.
I mean, we talked about potential, but he's really starting to show it now. They've got a rejuvenated John Mountney there. Robbie Benson's popping up with goals. Hooban's obviously scoring plenty. They've Jamie McGrath playing well.
Yep.
You know, they seem to have plenty of options. Yeah, like we talked about, maybe they're missing a genuine playmaker, but that and the fact they haven't been beaten this season, I'm going to go for an away win.
You put forward a good argument, sir. I'm not going to disagree there, but as I said, I'll stick with the draw. We're going to get the expert views now of Dundalk goalkeeper Guy Rogers. So I am delighted to be joined on the show once again this week by Dundalk goalkeeper Gary Rogers. And Gary, first of all, it's congratulations in order. A lot of milestones for yourself recently. Off the field, a new addition in the Rogers house, and on the field, 500 career appearances. That clean sheet record has been immense as well. Must be a great time for yourself, Gary.
Yeah, look, it's been great. Obviously, it is the most important of them all, but it's nice to pick up... You know, a couple of
man. So it's been really a good start to the season.
And as I mentioned there, obviously that clean sheet record has been the talk of the league. It fell recently against Shamrock Rovers. Obviously, you weren't in nets that way, for that game. You've just recently come back from injury. I suppose disappointed to give away the two goals against Derry at the weekend in what was an extremely hardly fought contest.
Yeah, we're very disappointed to give away two goals, especially when like you're preventable. But that's the way football goes. Like you're not going to have runs like that all the time. But it's going to be certain something that we can improve upon for this week, and I think we'll have to in order to keep clean sheet against Cork.
Yeah, we'll speak about the big game on Friday night in a moment, Gary. But what do you put down the improvement in the back four to this season? I suppose last season there was a lot of change in the off-season at Dundalk. Players, as we see every year, leaving to go across the water. This year, Dan Cleary's come in. He looks to have been an immense signing. And a lot of Dundalk fans raving about the performances of the likes of Sean Hoare as well. So just an overall improvement in the back four?
Well, look, it's hard to see. There's been lots of chopping and changing in the back four as well. Like, Stephen Folan has been in there, and Dane Massey's been in centre back, and Dean Jarvis has been. I think all in all, the back four, back five, there's been lots of changes. But anyone that comes into our squad, there's real quality there. So, and in order to stay in the team, you have to perform week in, week out. And I think that's has brought the best out of players. And no matter who's been playing, everyone has been performing really well.
Yeah, and even when I think there was a worry when you left the squad there recently through injury that perhaps the clean sheet record mightn't last too much longer. But it has to be said, Gabriel Sava did a superb job in the couple of games he was in. Probably feels slightly unlucky maybe not to get a longer run in the team, but obviously with yourself being the more experienced goalkeeper and your form been excellent early on in the season, I suppose it was always going to happen.
Yeah, well, look, you never know. Like, it's just one of those. I was just glad to get back quickly from the injury. In the end, I only missed two league games, so I thought initially that it was going to be a lot more, but thankfully it healed up pretty quick, and the physios did a really good job there. The club got me back as quick as possible, so it was just grateful to get back into the Limerick match,
And that game on Friday night, it's a huge trip down to Turner's Cross. As I mentioned, Dundalk disappointing to let the lead slip against Derry on two occasions. What type of game do you feel we might see on Friday? Is it going to be one of those fiery ones like we've seen recently in Oriel, or what way do you feel it goes on Friday?
Look, I imagine it'll be a good game. There's always a bit of fire no matter where it is between ourselves and Cork. And I think you need that competitiveness in the game, and that should bring the best out of both teams. Mm. We're hoping to go down there and win the game, and Cork likewise will be looking at it as a home game for them, and they'll be trying to win it. So it should be a real good game, and I think for neutrals looking in, it'd be a real good game to watch as well.
Last season, the threat for Cork was obviously Shawnee Maguire. I know Graham Cummins has come in this season and is doing quite well, but where is the main danger from this Cork City side this year? Because as I said last year, it was kind of easier to pinpoint the main focal point of their attack. There seems to be more goals spread across the team this season, so is it harder to prepare for?
I don't think it's any different really to prepare for. Like, you've got quality all over the place. You've Barry McNamee, Karen Shepherd, Cummins, as you said, and they've got goals in midfield. So, and it was the same last year, although Shawnee was on such a hot streak and was getting so many goals. Like, there was still plenty of goals in their team from other areas as well. So look, I don't think you can focus on any one player. Like, it's a team game, and you have to give everyone the respect they deserve. And I think we'll just try and focus. If we obviously look at them and see what we can do to nullify them, but we should try and bring our own game and implement our own style on things, and hopefully that'll be the case at the weekend.
Has there been a slight shift in maybe tactics from Dundalk going into these big games against Cork? Obviously Dundalk had that awful streak, I think it was 6 or 7 games where you couldn't pick up the win against Cork, and then in the last game at Oriel it seemed to be a lot more of a dominant and physical display from Dundalk, as well as plenty of good football played, but it seemed to have moved away slightly from the total possession based style that we've seen from Dundalk in recent years.
It's hard to know. I suppose that you take each game on its merits, and look, that's just the way that game turned out. Physical encounter, and we were more ready for that, and we were able to do that as well. So like, obviously we do play good football as well, but like, you have to be able to mix things up in order to get results, and I don't see it being any different this weekend.
And as I mentioned at the start of the interview, Gary, 500 career appearances, a fantastic achievement for any player, but it's not something we see too often in the League of Ireland. Has there been a bit of reflection in the last few weeks, or is it just totally focused on keeping Dundalk in that first position?
Yeah, I think, look, obviously there's been a bit of talk about it. It'd be nice to reach that landmark, and it's something that, you know, it's just, look, it's one game at a time, but it'd be nice to reach the landmark. It's done now, it's gone, so it just, you know, focus on the next game and just enjoy my football and, you know, trying to play as many games as I can for as long as I can. And like, I'm really enjoying it probably more now than ever, so I just really appreciate that I'm still playing and I'm playing at a good level, and really looking forward to this game at the weekend.
Yeah, and if you had to pick out a highlight so far in those 500 career games, what one would it be?
The Matthew Borisov game, even though it doesn't count in terms of the league games, but I think that's certainly the career highlight, you know, to go and win that game in the Champions League to get us into Europa League was certainly, you know, a highlight, I think, for most of the lads' careers in Dundalk, and it was a very special night.
Gary, been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes with the continued success of Dundalk.
Thanks very much, Aaron. Thanks.
Cheers, Gary.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So, superb to hear from Gary Rogers there. John, he's a man that seems to be getting better with age. He's put in some great performances this season.
Yeah, they always say goalkeepers, you know, goalkeepers couldn't go on in the 40s, and you know, he's proving that. He's not there yet, like, but he's certainly still doing well. He's a great keeper. He's been a great asset for the League of Ireland.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll put in the same type of performances in Europe. But just in terms of age, it's only the goalkeepers that seem to be reaching that kind of age bracket now. Yeah. Seen a great stat during the week online. It was the average ages of the team in the Premier Division. And probably not surprisingly, Dundalk were the most experienced side, and they're top of the league. Cork City were the next, so it was going the whole way down in order of experience. But overall, the average age in the Premier Division is only around 24 at the moment, which is great to see.
Age obviously correlates with teams' budget.
Well, yeah, that's probably more likely, I'd say. But look, folks, that's been another great episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I want to say a huge, huge thank you to everyone that tuned in last week. It was another hugely successful show. Great performance in the iTunes charts. Well over, I think, closing in on maybe 800 listeners or so. And considering the season of so much competition in the League of Ireland in terms of podcasts, that's a great show. And so thanks to everyone that's tuned in. But of course, we couldn't do it without the support of our sponsors. Our main sponsor, of course, is Flowmax.ie. Please do check them out, industrial equipment experts. If you recognise the name, you have seen it somewhere else. They're on the back of the St. Pat's jersey this season. Also, a number of advertising boards in Richmond Park. So it's great to see companies getting involved with the League of Ireland. We certainly wouldn't be able to put on this show without them. So please do give them your support. And of course, BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga.ie. John, anything? Any closing statements?
No, I think I'm looking forward to the fixtures at the weekend. I would like to thank Ian Birmingham and Gary Rogers for coming on the show. They're excellent guests, and we look forward to, we're off next week, aren't we?
Oh yeah, I was just about to announce a big exclusive one for next week, but I'll keep it on ice for now. I'm heading over to Scotland, folks, to having a little break, so no show next week, unfortunately, but that means more time to listen to this, to share it around, to subscribe on iTunes, get us bouncing up those charts. Folks, that's been it this week. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to John as always. And we will speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flowmax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flowmax.ie. Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.